Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. This is the verse that we have only begun to scratch the surface of and consider. And we have said this so far. God, being who He is, in full control of our lives and His universe, and the fact that He, by His power, is able to make to come to pass what He has planned, that is the bedrock of us, of our assurance. That is the bedrock of our salvation. We can be sure, we can be certain, because God is able to keep that which has been committed to Him until that day. This is the truth that brings much hope to Christians, but this truth that God is in control of all things is being attacked on two fronts. Science, philosophy. Science is attacking with the how question, and philosophy is attacking with the why question. Science says, it's not God who runs the universe. It's not God who makes the grass grow. It's not God that stops things from floating up into space. It's not God that causes the rain. It's the water cycle. It's gravity. It's all these mechanisms which science has discovered behind the things that we see. And so it's not God, but it's these laws of nature. Philosophy says, well, if God is in control of everything, and God describes Himself as good, well, look at the world. It's full of evil. It's full of corruption. It's full of trouble. It's full of pain. It's full of tears. It's full of tears. If God is in control of all things, and He is who He says He is, then either He's a liar, because it doesn't seem that there's a good God in control, or it's an argument that He does not exist. So, science says, how? Philosophy says, why? And these are the two attacks that come against what the Bible teaches, that God is indeed in control of all things. And that is the ground of our assurance. Well, friends, we're going to be spending some time considering and really meeting out what the Bible says about God being in charge, being in control, being sovereign and on the throne. And so we're going to consider this from the perspective of the doctrine of God's providence. A most wonderful teaching. And if you've never heard the word before, God's providence is simply the way in which God rules the universe. Okay? So when we talk about God's providence, what we mean is God's strength being exerted to cause His plans to come to pass. So if that's a new word, put that in your dictionary. We're talking about God's providence. For many Christians, the doctrine of providence is a very unimportant and unnecessary one because, I mean, after all, we have science to explain so many things around us. Modern science is able to describe how our bodies work and prescribe medicine when it gets broken. Modern science is able to predict the weather to some extent and tell us how things work with high pressure systems and low pressure systems and rain. It's science that's able to explain the distances between the stars and how the sun gives off its light as it's all those wonderful engineering and scientific things go on the surface of the sun. It's science that's able to explain the how, and so we don't need God to explain these things anymore because science shows us that it's not God at the end of the explanation, but some law of nature instead. And so as Christians, as we've interacted with the world we live in, have been influenced by the world we live in. Our minds have been programmed by the worldview of the world that we live in to view things in terms of scientific explanation and not ultimately what the Bible says about God being the sustainer of His creation. And so Christianity has been perceived as this. You know, we're a bunch of people that are standing on a shrinking beach And the waves, the relentless waves of science that are beginning to explain more and more of our universe, are taking more and more of the ground that we have to stand on away from us, and soon we'll have no beach to stand on whatsoever. That's how people think. That's what people think of Christianity today. We also call it the God of the gaps. You know, God is the explanation for everything we don't understand. That's usually been the way that people have approached it. It's a wrong way, and it will lead you down a wrong road. But Christians, unfortunately, have fallen into this trap of thinking. You know, God is the explanation of everything we don't understand. But then the trouble is, as soon as science does explain something that we thought was God, or something that the spiritual world was doing, all of a sudden we now have to cross out that truth as no longer valid, because now science is able to explain it. So, for examples, in the medieval times, sicknesses were caused by demons. But now we know about bacteria and germs and all these other things. So, hey, we can't believe in demons anymore, because now we know it's germs that make people sick. And so what's happening is that beach is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking in the minds of modern man. And where is God? Where's space for God? He's the God of the gaps, and he's being squeezed out. And New Atheism with Richard Dawkins and his like is basically saying this, that enough things have been explained, that God has been squeezed out of enough gaps that he can no longer justify his existence. Well, it's time for us to get back to what the Bible says about how God is Lord over his universe, and we're looking at the conversation between God and science, how God interacts with his creation. How is God the Lord over all things, if we can seem to explain most things in terms of science and not point to God at the end of it all? Well, I'd like us to begin with a full-blooded Christian understanding of God's providence from the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. And what I'm wanting to do is I'm wanting to confront you with what our forefathers in the faith have believed. I'm wanting to test you to see whether you'll be willing to believe these same things. Sam, can I ask you to put the next slide up for us? I've got a few paragraphs from the 1689. I want us to begin with what the confession teaches, and then we're going to look at the scriptures. Okay? There's a G missing at the front there. It should say God. Who is the governor of all things? God, the good creator of all things. From what resources does he govern? In his infinite power and wisdom. You know what that means? All the power that he needs and all the knowledge and wisdom that he needs to run a universe, he has. Okay? He's not lacking in any way. What actions make up his role in sustaining his creation? Is he merely the clockmaker who made a clock, wound it up, threw it into the universe, and now it takes care of itself with maybe just the occasional servicing? Or is he hands-on? He upholds, directs, disposes, and governs. What the confession is trying to say there is every tick and every tock is overseen by God at every moment. Over what does he exercise his providence? All creatures and things, from the greatest even to the least. Angels, demons, insects, leaves falling from trees, all the way down. You name anything, it's covered. By what principles does he act? By his most wise and holy providence. In other words, God's plan is cleverer than yours. And he'll never make a mistake. And he never sins. It's a holy providence in all that he does as he rules his universe. For what purpose does God govern? To the end for which they were created, to the praise of the glory of his wisdom, power, justice, infinite goodness, and mercy. To glorify himself. That's the end to which he is ruling and reigning his universe. And what are the determining causes behind God's providence? His infallible foreknowledge, that means unfailing foreknowledge. The free and immutable, that means unchangeable counsel of his own will. The meaning of foreknowledge here is not the Arminian version of God looking into the future and learning, but of his pre-planning. Perfect pre-planning. So that there are no events that he has had no part in, no people saved that were not first appointed, that everything that comes to pass because God has planned it, and his power